Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
Good morning to all you fine listening friends in North and East Mississippi and in Northwest Alabama. We welcome you here to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, and I'm thankful that you choose to listen to this broadcast. And if this is your first time, we hope you'll make it a happy habit. And if you're a return listener, we appreciate you. Pray for us. And if you will, just email us. Go to our website, gospel-of-grace.com, and email us and let us know that you're listening. We surely would appreciate it. You'll also find links and frequently asked questions and archived messages on that site, gospel-of-grace.com. I welcome you on behalf also of Elder David Wise, good and faithful pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church near Ackerman, Mississippi. And I, Joe Nettles, try to pastor the Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church just outside of Caledonia, Mississippi, in the Bartahatchee community. We also welcome you and invite you to visit Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church, located at 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi. Sweet, sweet group over there. They meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and they would absolutely love to have you come and worship the Lord with them. We are bringing for you a message today titled, Into the Love of God. And we hope and pray that you'll stay with us. And after this hymn, we'll begin with this day's message.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. We glorify Thy name. Amen.
Thank you again for being with us here at the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. And I'm turned in my Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. And I'd like to really focus in on a phrase that we find in the fifth verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica says, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ." I'd like to focus today on that little phrase, "The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." What's under consideration there? Because whatever direction that is, I want that direction. I want to be in the love of God. I want to love God. I do love God, and I want to feel His love more. But exactly what is that referring to? "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Well, when we're considering the love of God and love in general as relates to God, there's a couple of points we need to establish. Point number one is you cannot get God to love you in a relational sense, in any sense, as a matter of fact. The Bible is very plain that whom God loves, He has always loved. He's loved from the foundation of the world. And you just don't start getting God to love you. God has either always loved you or God has never loved you. Now, someone would say it's impossible for God to have never loved someone. And I would say that is not so, because the Word of God tells us that there are some that God hates. Certainly, at the end of time, he's going to condemn all of the God-hating wicked people into an eternal lake of fire. And I have absolutely no indication from Scripture or good common sense to believe that he is expressing his eternal unchanging love for those people by burning them in an eternal lake of fire. That just doesn't make good nonsense. And as I've told you on this radio broadcast before, if your idea of showing me your love, your unchanging, unshakable love, is to burn me forever, then please keep your love. Let's not lay that calumny at the foot of God's door. Let us not accuse God's love of being so cruel. We can't get God to love you in a relational sense. You just cannot do it. In 1 John 4:19, we know very plainly, and is known very ubiquitously among Bible students, is that we love him because he first loved us. You see, there's the order. You can't get God to love you. God loves you first, if he's ever loved you. John 17:23, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was praying unto his Father, he prayed unto his Father, saying, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and, notice this, hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How long has God the Father loved God the Son? Forever. Forever. Could the love for God the Son ever fail? No. Could the love for God the Son ever even be paused, even be interrupted, be anything but imperfect? No, no, no. But yet Jesus wants you to know, believer in Christ, that God the Father loves you as he loves his only begotten Son. And that is the strongest expression of love that I could imagine. That God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. That God loves me with a God love. And that just strengthens me and comforts my heart. Jeremiah 31:3, speaking of the love of God, the prophet Jeremiah declared, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. An everlasting love's love doesn't end. And he said, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That means that love that is forever, that love that cannot be shaken, that love that cannot be disturbed, that God has for his people. Therefore, based upon that love, he has drawn them. And as I've told you many times before, that term drawn thee is not a passive statement. That is an active, dynamic statement, as you drawing a sword out of a scabbard or drawing water out of a well. It is an expression of power. And when you're talking about the Lord doing the drawing, he will get the drawing done. Point number two is that you have no natural ability to love God. And by natural ability, I mean the way that you're born in this world, fallen in sin, having been represented in Adam, corrupted in the fall. You have no innate ability or desire to love God. You will forever see him as an enemy. You will not be drawn to God. There's nothing about God that you would be drawn to in your natural abilities, which are corrupted. Notice these verses, Romans 8:6-7. Paul writes, for to be carnally minded. What does it mean to be carnally minded? It basically means a natural person who's not been born again. They are carnally minded. That means they only mind the flesh. They only think of the flesh. They only have the only ability to think by the flesh. They have no spirit within them, of the Spirit of God, compel them, to lead them, to guide them, to convict them. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So there he says, the natural man, having no ability to love God, why? Because God is forever an enemy to his mind. God is only an interrupter of his pleasures. God only gets in the way of his own personal glory. God is just a distraction in his life against all of the debauchery and all of the entertainments that he wants to amass unto himself. God only gets in the way. Verse 7 of Romans 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So there you see the total futility of man in his unborn again state to ever try to follow a commandment to love God. He just won't do it. John chapter 5, verses 40 through 42, Jesus said, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Not only did God not love them, they did not love God. And why did they not love God? Because God had not first loved them. Again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Not only is that expressive of the order of love, but also of the cause and effect that love produces. Therefore, whatever our verse is, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, when he says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, it cannot mean either of those things. You getting God to love you, or you just drumming up some love for God. Therefore, this verse must speak to such as have been eternally loved by God and given loves in their heart, given love in their hearts via the new birth. To wit, this address is to saved, heaven-bound children of God in Jesus Christ. This speaks of obtaining a sweeter, richer experience of God's love. You see, if you can't get into God's love positionally or out of God's love positionally, then certainly this must be speaking about an experience, in experiencing that love. How then do we follow the Lord's direction into the love of God? Well, first things first, for us to experience the love of God greater, we need to continually appreciate the loveliness of God by remembering how wretched you and me are in our flesh. We're just wretches, fallen in sin in our original natures. And when we look at how wretched we are, it should be very easy for us to be able to see how lovely God is. See, that's the problem with someone who's not born again. They'll never see how wretched they are. They have no sense of their sin. But until you get that sense of your sin, how is it that you can see God high and holy and lifted up and worthy of all honor and praise? You just won't do it. It's foreign to you. But appreciating the loveliness of God by remembering how wretched you are in your flesh is always a good exercise. In Romans chapter 7, here Paul writes about the wrestlings in the flesh, or the wrestlings between the flesh and the spirit. Now notice, in Romans chapter 7, all of the experiences described there are of born-again people, people who've already been born again of the Spirit of God. Okay, this is the wrestling match that goes on. People who are not born again of the Spirit of God, they have no opposing forces within them. They are just flesh. But when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you are both flesh and spirit, and therefore you have this battle waging within you continually. Romans 7, verse 18, Paul writes, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. So there he's saying the same thing he would later say in Romans chapter 8. The flesh is, the carnal mind is enmity against God. He's just saying it a different way. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. A lot of people say, well, there's some good things. God's word says there's no good thing. No good thing dwelling in the fallen, corrupted flesh. There dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. See, this is the expression of someone who's been born again. They have the spirit and the flesh waging war. He said, all those good things that I have desired to do, I'm compelled to do, I wind up doing the evil that I would not do. That's what I do. Verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. See, this is obviously speaking from the perspective of a born-again person. He said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Romans chapter 8 says someone in their flesh is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. He said, but here I delight in it. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but here goes that fleshly part again. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That was the cry of the Apostle Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am. He sees vision of his own wretchedness. Have you ever seen yourself as so wretched you just cry or you just groan? You say, I can't believe I am as sorry as I am. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And here, in that wretchedness, he's able to see the beauty of Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See his beauty. See him high and lifted up. See his saving graces. How wonderful it is. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, we read, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Is that your view of Jesus Christ today? Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens? Then I got good news for you, my friends. You have every reason in the world to confess Jesus Christ and serve him, be baptized into his church, and have a wonderful, lively hope of heaven. Second thing we need to consider about the Lord directing us into the love of God is we can feel this love better, this experienced love, by keeping God's commandments. We see this time and again. John chapter 14, here in this great preaching, teaching of Jesus Christ unto his disciples about the coming on the scene of the Holy Comforter, the Holy Ghost. He says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he might abide with you forever. There, if you want to feel the manifest presence of the Lord, then keep his commandments, because you love him. Well, how can you love him if you haven't been born again? Again, this is two born-again people. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. He shall give you another Comforter, they may abide with you forever. And then in verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, we know the love of God has been from the foundation of the world. What's he saying here about this loving? He's saying you will experience this love. You will feel this love. Okay, I never did anything to make my Father love me, okay? But when I crawled up in his lap and curled up with him and let him hold me and I felt close to him, I felt that love in a special way. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So you want to be directed into the love of God, then keep his commandments. As we expressed earlier, continue to appreciate how lovely God is and how needy you are and how wretched you are. Look at the third way. Love your fellow man. Love your fellow man. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Well, amen. That's awesome. But then he goes on, verse 39, and the second is like unto it. That means just as much power as there is in the first, there's just as much power in the second. Just as much beauty as there is in the first, there's just as much beauty in the second. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you're not loving your brother, you're not loving God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How indeed, Brother John, how indeed? Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Notice this next phrase in verse 45 after saying that. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That's not talking about how you get Tim to love you in a relational sense. No, it's talking about how you can manifest his love for you and manifest your love for him, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Even though there's somebody that you don't believe loves God one iota, you know what? We try our best to love them for Christ's sake. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. It sounds certainly to me like the Lord is to direct my hearts into the love of God, certainly I'm going to need to do these first three things. Well, here's another one. Here's a fourth. Seek more truth. Seek more of the truth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, John writes, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So don't just love in word. Don't just say you love somebody, but do it in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You may feel condemned over some sinfulness in your life and say, well, there's just no way God could love me. But see, God is greater than even your heart. God's not shaken by the things of this world. God's love doesn't get discouraged. God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And then I love this one in verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, if we're obedient, if we're loving other people, if we're seeking his truth, as he said, loving in deed and in truth. He said, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Oh, direct me, Lord, into that love of God, into the love of Christ. Direct me, Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Peter writes, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. That sounds like truth. If we have a more sure word of prophecy, sounds like I can find the truth there. Amen? Sounds like it to me, listening friend. So let's read on. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. I posit for you that what he's saying there is that by trusting and following the word of God, you will feel the bright and shining, warming love of Christ that dwells within you in a more manifest and a pure way. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. John wrote a lot about that. That's why we call him the Apostle of Love. 1 John 4, 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The closer you are to Jesus in truth, my friends, the more that dreaded fear and frightfulness of our sinfulness and our worthiness of condemnation will be cast out the window. Because perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torment. Learn more of him. Seek more of his truth. And then the last point today, point number five, of how God, we can by God be directed into the love of Christ, into the love of God. It says, separate yourself from worldly attitudes and allurements. That's right. Live a disciplined life. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Somebody may say, whoo, that sounds like a hard saying. Well, it's a true saying, whether you think it's hard or not. God's word is stark. It's plain. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon there basically means money and material goods, things that we lust after in a carnal way in this life. You cannot serve God and mammon. So remove yourself from those worldly attitudes and allurements that just beset us each and every day. Listening, friend. 1 John 2:15, notice this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, let me tell you something. I'm the very first one to admit to you, listening friend, that if I'm honest with myself and you're honest with yourself, there are things in this world we're drawn to by the lust that's within us, by the desire of our eyes, of our wandering eyes, and the pridefulness that dwells within us. Oh, yes, it's something we have to fight continually, right? Somebody may say, well, I feel drawn to some of the things in this world, and you will until you're freed from this world. But understand this, my friends, if you see the dangers inherent, if you see that it dishonors God, if you love and you want to be close to God more than you want to be close to wealth and fame and the praise of men, then I'm here to tell you, you got a reason to rejoice. This is not of the world. This is of God. So remove yourself from those allurements. It's worth it. Throw away those nasty influences that are in our homes. Turn the TV off. I recently subscribed to something called VidAngel. And there are certain shows that I could watch. Maybe I couldn't have watched it before because the language was so horrid, or, you know, there was homosexuality or things of that nature. And I've just really enjoyed VidAngel. It allows me to be shielded of all those things, so I can watch all of these shows through VidAngel. And it helps remove all of those allurements and those things that just make me cringe, like them using the Lord's name in vain. That just cuts to me like a knife when someone uses the Lord's name in vain. You see, my friends, if we want to be into the love of God, that's what he said, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, then, my friends, let's seek that love of God through these five ways. And I'll tell you, our fellowship with the Lord and our walk with him will be so much sweeter. I hope these things have been a help to you. We love you, and until we're able to speak with you again on such wonderful, noble subjects, may the Lord's grace be with you all richly.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30. And tune in next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord.